everybody, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
Do you really have that part in your phone? Like the beginning, like the opening?
Yes.
Wow, okay. Just checking. I'm Drew.
Doug Benson. Every week when he comes out for Doug Loves Movies, he literally puts the phrase, "Hello, everybody," on a piece of paper because he forgets. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you from the UCB Theater. Like, I remember it because I don't smoke pot, I guess.
Well, now you've messed me up, so now I can't even do the rest of the intro because now you threw a kink in my script.
You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at HorriblePcast. If you found the podcast, you can spell it.
You can send us an email at
wolfmansgotnards@thehorriblepodcast.com. If we both do it, we'll just get it done in double time.
You can find us on Facebook and Google Plus, iTunes and Stitcher by searching for The Horrible Podcast. This episode, Cabin Fever, Patient Zero.
Oh, I like that.
Let's do it all
at the same time. 1, 2, 3. Patient Zero.
Patient Zero.
Let's just do Patient Zero on 3. 1, 2, 3. Patient Zero. I like it. Or what, Brian? What was your alternate title for it?
Or just Patient Zero, because it has nothing to do with Cabin Fever.
No. It doesn't.
And I wondered if it was a prequel, but it's not a prequel.
But it is.
Is it?
Yeah. This is the outbreak. That's why it's called Patient Zero.
That's what it calls itself, but it doesn't. Huh. But you're right. It doesn't really fit because all of a sudden there's zombies.
Yeah.
Recall that sort of zombification and that kind of aggressive behavior in either one or two.
So Cabin Fever, written and directed by Eli Roth, mm-hmm. The very first one.
One of my favorites.
The thing that I always remember about Cabin Fever, the original. is Drew describing it to me. He's like, this movie is just so mean to the people in this film. It's just, they're just ridiculously mean to them. Like, you know, the guy falls in the water, all of a sudden, dead body in your face.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And like, just the shit that happens to these people, which...
The razor scene.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that scene. Yeah.
This kind of continued
finger
that.
Bang scene.
This one had that. With the
this went even for we'll get to that we'll
hey,
get to there
you
from
know,
here
we'll get to it but you the plus to this movie is you know it's bad if it even disturbs me and I was like
Patient Zero or the first Cabin Fever
it's just
this Patient Zero
it's just too obvious
like I knew said, it was coming yeah. but I'm just like the dude
I actually think even without Ty West's approval because you know he wanted his name removed from Cabin Fever 2 Spring Fever because he says the producers just did whatever they wanted to it and but I actually think it's fun I think it's entertaining I enjoyed Cabin Fever Spring Fever
it was
Cabin Fever 2 Spring Fever I didn't really like this
that's it
I like parts of this movie and I also like the director I like the stuff that Cary Andrews has done before.
He did the one of the
V is for Vaginitis.
Yeah, the right. one with the whole robots and stuff like that. It was really pretty interesting in ABCs of Death.
Yeah, but you know what? He can't do anything with Jake Wade Wall's screenplay, and I'm not a big fan of Jake Wade Wall.
What did that guy do?
He did the remake for The Hitcher. He did the remake for When a Stranger Calls.
Mm.
And he did that movie Amusement, which was perennially on my Netflix queue, but I never watched or haven't watched. I guess.
Yeah, there. I mean, the movie has a lot of problems. Mainly, it's like a Cabin in the Woods sequel. Like it feels like it has like a Cabin in the Woods feel to it because it switches from horror movie to like,
Fever?
Huh?
Because it's called Cabin Fever.
No, because it switches from like being about having this disease to then this like almost not techno thriller, but also like almost like it goes into the actual place where this is done. And it changes the whole tone of the movie, and it doesn't transition well. Like, I was totally bored after they got off the beach. Like, totally bored. Like, in isolation, the idea of these people, like, it's a whatever throwaway plot, but the idea of them just being on the beach and suffering through this sounds interesting. But when you add in this, like, Sean Astin B plot that just makes no fucking sense to me.
Oh, especially when they try to Sixth Sense at the end.
Sean Astin.
It doesn't work. Like, he did what?
This was no Whitewater Summer, guys.
4 hours of work. That's one of my favorite. That's the first movie I think of when I think of Sean Astin. Like, him taking the egg across the thing.
Uh-oh.
What was the original title? I can't remember now.
Of Whitewater Summer?
Yeah, it had another title.
Kevin Bacon loses it?
No, I'll have to look it up.
Cabin Fever, Whitewater Summer? I don't remember either.
No, Whitewater Summer. I mean, of course, Sean Astin and Goonies is going to be my favorite, but no, Whitewater.
I think Whitewater Summer I think of before I even think of Goonies.
Sean Astin, even in Encino Man, he was great in that as the Pauly Shore's foil.
Rites of Summer. Rites of Summer.
That's what it was called before?
R-I-T-E-S.
I much prefer Whitewater Summer.
Whitewater Summer works. That movie's dark.
It is dork.
Dork. That movie's, it's a seriously dark. I remember being disturbed by it as a kid. Like,
well, yeah, because you're like, Kevin Bacon is supposed to be the guy in charge, and he loses his shit.
Also, but they also throw him off the side of a mountain.
Yeah, they right? do.
Like, he breaks his fucking, I mean, they come back together to save him, but also they throw that motherfucker off the side of a mountain. That's not good.
So this week's episode, we're going to talk about Whitewater Summer.
Fuck it.
I'm fine with that.
Let's just go through Sean Astin's rise and fall.
Well, got to talk about Rudy at some point.
Let's talk about his now crazy religious speeches he does.
I've not heard of this. Is this a thing?
He's a huge like Christian guy that comes around and does speeches about Christianity and stuff like that. Made me completely lose. Like, it takes me out of Lord of the Rings now.
So he's gone into Kirk Cameron mode.
I don't know if it's Kirk Cameron crazy level yet, but he is. He's teetering.
I didn't know. Is this something you learned from Reddit? I didn't know this.
I think I saw him at some. One of those, like an ad for him, like Sean Astin weird. Talks about the power of Christ. Oh, and we can pause for a second.
Sounds
yeah,
so
here we go. I pulled something up. It's on Fox News and TheBlaze.com. So you know that's some great stuff there.
You know, this is way off topic. We're going even farther down the rabbit hole. But watching,
for the film.
Only Drew's going to get this analogy, I think. But after watching the SEC Network this past weekend, I now understand Fox News a little bit better. Like, just hearing people talk about the SEC nonstop and having it all about that, I kind of like it.
I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
I know.
So I don't watch the SEC or Fox News. It's like both of those things are out of my reach.
That's right. He starred in that movie, Mom's Night Out. That was the one he's kind of pushing on Fox and things like that. The one, the Christian-y.
Is that the one where he married the girl from the Shire?
No.
He had to have made so much money from The Lord of the Rings, though. Like, why is he doing Cabin Fever, Patient Zero? Like, what is the... Is it just...
I don't know. I mean,
we understand how that really works.
If you
think
about it, though, I mean, nobody really from The Lord of the Rings made a huge like jump into besides Gandalf, Ian
McKellen,
which he was big anyway. But I mean, Peter Jackson made the money, but none of those guys. I mean, you know, Elijah Wood has split off into his genre films, and
He made so much money, like he's able to do the things he wants because he now has fuck you money. That's what I think.
But
you're telling me Elijah Wood did not make a gazillion dollars
for that?
The two
lesser hobbits, Charlie from Lost and the guy from...
And Sean Astin.
Not that was Samwise.
Merry and Pippin,
yeah. One guy wound up being in Master and Commander, and the other guy was in Lost.
Master and Commander was first, wasn't it?
Was it?
I think so.
Hey, speaking of movies I love, I fucking love Master and Commander.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, my God. Like, so...
That's good.
We'll get to Cabin Fever. This is kind of Cabin Fever Zero.
It has something to do with water. There's water in both things.
We'll get to Cabin Boy, too. It takes place on the water, but the first time, I think I was either sick or just didn't want to get out of the bed because it's a crippling depression. I watched Master and Commander. I was like, fucking Russell Crowe in the sea. This is going to be horrible. That film is fucking amazing. I have never been so
Who
involved.
Directed that, Drew?
Peter Weir.
Who is that? Who else was that? What else has he done?
Witness and...
Oh, yeah.
A couple other things, but that's...
He did something recently, didn't he? Maybe not.
Probably. But that's the first thing that always pops into my head.
Peter Weir's Werewolf. The making of the Jack movie Wolf.
That was Mike Nichols, though.
Fuck.
But anyway, so...
Cabin Fever, Patient Zero.
I don't really care if we talk about it.
Honestly. I mean, it's...
Let's get basics.
There are some things on it.
You're not going to sway me from my... Cabin Boy. Speaking of Cabin Boy, I watched that like last week in the background of something.
They want to buy a monkey?
I was putting together, I think, one of Jackson's Minecraft Legos. I don't even know why we buy that kid Legos. But I was putting them together and watching in the background going, this movie is so good. I don't know why people hated it so much.
Well, I mean, it's a hard movie to market. Like, that's not... It had all the makings of not a good movie. Like, it's very silly plot. Like,
bad movie.
It's the same reason why Zoolander tanked. I mean, it was just a really silly movie that turned out to be pretty good, but that no one cared about because it was so off the beaten path. And Chris Elliott is not a bankable movie star.
Chris Elliott.
He's not.
The
That's true. He's not.
Have you ever read his books?
Mm-mm.
They're pretty good. The Into Hot Air, the Mounting of Everest, and the Shroud of the Thwacker.
Mm-mm. Are they?
What they make fun of John Krakauer's Into Thin Air.
I got that.
And then the they make fun of the alien. Caleb Carr is the alienist.
Wow.
With the Shroud of the Thwacker. Like most of the book takes place in like a steakhouse where they just keep eating food.
Mm-hmm. This sounds not good.
Yeah, it's funny. I got to agree with you on that one. It does not sound appealing.
Read it. It's funny.
One of the things about Cabin Fever that I noticed last night was that it proves why, like, it sort of gives me an insight into why a lot of Stephen King movies don't work. Because the Sean Astin B plot is more or less Stu Redfield, right? Like, that's something that's hard to pull off. A guy who is ostensibly, I guess, resistant to a killer bacteria virus thingy just being in, like, nothing about that B plot was interesting to me at all. Like nothing, not any of the characters. I don't care that Sean Astin was in the movie. It was super weird and not good. I actually did like some of the cinematography in this movie and some of the shots. I think that Cary Andrews is a talented director. I just don't know that he had much to work with, but I think he worked it as well as could be established, except for like, I didn't care for the actors for some reason.
Yeah,
like,
you mean, The main character, the guy who was getting
the
married.
The curly haired guy?
Looked like the guy from, it looked like, what's his name? Kip Pardue.
Yeah.
He looks like Kent from Real Genius.
Yeah.
Okay.
With the glasses on.
Yeah.
Kent, this is God.
This is God.
Kent. But he looked like Kip Pardue with that hair. So I kept on thinking.
I mean, are we, like, was anyone ever even doubted that that girl was going to take her top off for that dude at any point? I was like, there is no way that girl, Penny, your best friend, is not going to get, you know.
It's a really uneven movie because we start in a place where I don't care. Like, I don't care that he's getting married. It ultimately has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. It is a collection of, like, trite horror movie cliche things. Like, someone's getting married, but the girl likes him. Like, this just unbelievably smoking hot girl cares for this sort of, like, kind of character.
Smoking hot girls. The woman that's marrying him, and this best friend from from home, the hometown girl.
And like just the, also the like.
But she's trashy. She's lower class. Remember
the hometown girl?
Yeah, because they were talking about how they were coming, you know, he had made it and he was going to leave them because he had all the, you know,
now
money.
He was marrying up, like that sort of thing. And it just like.
Southies?
Hmm?
They're from South Boston.
Quite possibly.
They were just all dick bags. Like, and I understand that. Cabin Fever, Eli Roth started that trend in this series with having completely unlikable, disreputable people at the heart of the movie. Like, they're awful human beings. So you kind of want to see them tortured. But here, they play it both ways because they're just kind of dude bros, but they're not actively bad. They're just kind of like passively dick bags.
Yeah, it's what you imagine every bro would be like. You know, every like, oh man, let's go drink. I mean,
give me some of that weed. I want to smoke it.
What kind of? And it was one of those things. I don't know. Maybe it's because of my advanced age now. But if someone invites me to a wedding in a foreign country and is going to pay for everything, I'm not going to be a dickhead.
Yeah.
Like to them, I'm like, I'm not going to fuck my girl in a cabana. I'm not going to, you know, try to buy all sorts of illegal drugs. I'm going to try to chill and be like, hey, man, I'm really happy for you.
Also, you will bring a big black dildo, though.
I will bring a big black dildo only because I need one in my ass at all times.
Also, like the big.
I have one there now.
Yeah, I mean, you can't podcast without it. It's like your blanket.
It basically holds the poop in from eating pizza.
I can't. I think, again, I mean, like...
It's not basically. It really is holding a pizza.
I understand the sort of... the way that you feel about it, because as I get older, I also don't sympathize with the, like, hey, bro, you're going to leave us because you're... Like, that sort of idea, I feel like most people have gotten over, but it's only because I, in my life, have gotten over that sort of, like, instinct to make fun of my friends for that.
Listen,
so,
I think we should all make a pact now that... If because you're the only one who's not married, if you are ever to get married again, that we should make sure we make it as uncomfortable for Tyler as this guy was in Cabin Fever, Patient Zero.
Please don't. I actually had that thought last night.
Fever, Patient Zero. Yeah.
That's what we should have. Like, we should have a bachelor party as Cabin
that's
Fever.
That's what'll theme it.
Patient Zero bachelor party.
I actually would enjoy that a lot more. Yeah, no, I actually thought about that last night. I was like,
oh, no, we should Hostel 3 it.
Totally, yeah. Tell, like, just, like, I want to see, like, you know, like, what's wrong, Tyler? It's like, oh, these guys, they promised all sorts of shit. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they're going to come over and just want to watch movies. I don't know if we're going to karaoke. I don't know if we're going to go to a foreign island and fucking, you know,
catch a
horrible disease.
What half-assed bachelor party was that? Like, what was the intention of the bachelor party?
Go to an island and get ripped?
No one does that.
Hey man, I know we're all bros, but let's go to a really secluded, beautiful beach. With your girlfriend. Let's spend time together getting ripped shit on, you know, the
cheap weed and
marijuana and smoke it like a cigarette and and get drunk. And I kept thinking too the whole time, I was like, is that beer even cold?
No. And
seen a cooler yet.
Like, what is the I'm a camper, and I don't like. I like sleeping in a tent with no electricity. And even I was like, I wouldn't choose to do that. That's not a thing I want to do. It's not.
Well, I think mainly it's because of the sand. You know, sand.
I don't like the beach. Yeah, if it were in the woods, I'd be like, yeah, fine. But not this. Yeah,
I'm with you on that one.
Cabin in the Woods like totally blew this whole idea out of the water. Of like, we're just gonna randomly rent this fucking. Like, we're gonna do this thing that. No one just does. And if you're going to go on a bachelor party, you're going to rent a house. You're going to go stay in a condo at the beach. You're not just going to go hang out on some deserted island. Like, that's the biggest plot hole in the entire movie.
Right. Yeah. That's not the way. I imagine so. On my bachelor party, it was pretty laid back. So I don't remember. But, and Drew's was too. I mean,
but it also wasn't like, but if you're going to do the beach thing, you're going to do something different. You're not just like, who takes the time to find some fucking deserted island to go to? Nobody.
We're in a foreign country.
Let's pay the guy with the boat extra so he takes us even further north.
Well, yeah. They're not supposed to go. They're not supposed to go anyway.
Yeah, because there are a multitude of islands around where we could do this. Nobody cares. Nobody cares if we're getting rip shit on.
I like that word. Rip shit. That's not something I've heard ever. I'm gonna start saying they're all rip shit on the gin. I like that.
Rip shit on weed and beer, Bohemian beer.
Oh God, yeah. I'm kind of a sucker for those kinds of movies, like the Turistas, Cabin Fever in the Woods kind of movies. Like, I don't need much.
I think you
just
got the next Wayans Brothers movie.
Cabin
title.
Fever in the Woods. Yeah, I don't.
The Teresa's Cabin Fever in the Woods.
Yeah. I don't mind those. Like, The Ruins. I love that book. That's an amazing book. The movie, not so much. But
the movie's not terrible either. The movie's still better than this.
Yeah. And so yeah,
I'd watch it several times before I'd watch this.
Sure.
Again.
Sure. I mean, I don't know why it's a plot device that still remains like so popular. Like, oh, we're just going to go up to a place and hang out and then bad shit's going to happen. I guess we just need a reason to get somewhere secluded to be murdered. Like, that's just...
It's popular. It's just as easy.
Yeah.
It's out of its utility as much as anything.
This plot device is the we're in a bad cell phone area of movie devices. But the problem is, like, this is the whole basis for the movie. Like, they constructed this movie just around that idea. Like, well, we got to put them somewhere where they can land and be unhappy and die because they can't be around other people because then that solves the movie. I feel like that's the big problem here.
Yeah, we figured it out. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the, I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I thought that the opening credits were really well done.
I did too. I made that note too.
By that. And I was like, oh, this might be all right. These opening credits are pretty interesting. And then pretty much promptly after that, nothing was interesting again. Nothing.
Well, they
went interesting. The lab assistant lady with the cleavage out the wazoo.
Yeah, for no apparent reason. None. Well, you learn
and everything, and
but you, I will, you do learn that the doctor is kind of a lecherous asshole later, so it makes sense later, but not in the beginning. You're like, they're just doing that because she has breasts,
right? And then, but then when she gets trapped in the, when, I mean, the whole thing was like, well, there's only one suit left. You trust me, don't you? Well, no.
maybe
of course not.
You is the problem. It's the guy there.
Guys, let me tell you the best line in the movie, and it should be on their, it should be the tagline on the poster is, Daddy don't want no salty cooch.
I knew it. There.
Well, the whole time I was thinking, like, Daddy don't want no salty cooch, but you're okay with coppery, because you're telling me you don't taste that.
I didn't think we had made it that far yet.
I think we've made it that far.
Yeah, I'm just interested in, like,
my first note, because nothing else is interesting.
It's in bold, I mean, for me. It's like all caps.
It literally says, mine says, Cabin Fever, more zombie-like, bloody oral sex. I mean, that's pretty much
the that's bloody oral sex, could be the tagline for the movie.
Well, you know, and the thing that I think Cabin Fever, where Cabin Fever, the series, kind of excels at is that gross out factor, too. Because Cabin Fever 2, I mean, there was a scene with the girl in the bathroom that kind of got horribly disgusting.
And the girl in the pool, like,
yeah,
the bigger girl.
So they want you, but they just, I wish they would just go further with it.
I don't know. Like, I don't know why they need this callback particularly. Like, it worked in the first movie because it was shocking, but it's not like, Jason's mask. It doesn't have to be here. What, Drew? Sorry.
You know, it's an interesting, I was listening to Eli Roth on Howard Stern.
Speaking of bros.
Yeah. Well, Eli Roth was talking about, I can't remember which movie it was that he was discussing, but Howard Stern was, I guess Eli Roth was a PA on Private Parts. Mm-hmm. And his job was to stand outside of Howard Stern's dressing room and make sure nobody got in. But he was talking about how he's like, every day this guy had like his laptop out just typing away, just like, what are you working on? He's like, I'm working on this script. What's it called? Cabin Fever. And it was really cool to hear that story about how Eli Roth was just this PA working, you know, working a shit job, making sure nobody got into Howard Stern's dressing room, and writing this script at the same time. So I don't know why I talked
about that.
That's
super interesting. No, like, what other details were in there? Like, if you could just channel your Howard Sternism, what all did he say? Like, what else? I'm interested because that movie just kind of came out of nowhere.
It did. What did it come out against? What did it come out against at the same time? Because I remember it came out, and I think
I don't remember, but I do. I don't know.
I weren't friends yet, but Drew and I were.
I think it was around. Was it around House of a Thousand Corpses?
Was it House of a Thousand Corpses? There. Time? Okay.
Well, the big thing was, you know, I had that Peter Jackson big blurb on the cover. I mean, I can even put
the best thing
since right
Dead Alive.
I think something like that. Because I see that Cabin Fever DVD over there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It has something on there. That was the big thing I remember, was that blurb, which seemed weird probably to everyone who knew Lord of the Rings. Like, why is the Lord of the Rings guy all about this Cabin Fever
bad
movie?
Taste.
But it's like, man, I watched Bad Taste and Dead Alive
and Meet the Feebles. Yeah. An odd little side note. Meet the Feebles, when I was going through my stuff and selling it, my Meet the Feebles DVD went for, I think I bought it for probably $14 or $15 on Amazon. When I sold it on, again later, I sold it for $75.
Nice.
Whoa. Yeah, man. I probably should have held on to it.
Yeah.
I probably should have been like Ambrosian and kept on holding on to yesterday. Ambrosia's not going to sue us, Tyler.
I was really disappointed. The bloody oral sex scene was just, listen, it was too straightforward of a callback. It was like, you knew exactly what was happening. It's like, oh,
well, that's
the only option you have to one up the other movie. Now, that being said, one of the pluses about the entire movie
is the makeup.
Well, no, it's the makeup that is pretty well done throughout. They did a lot of actual effects, a lot of physical effects, a lot of makeup.
It's very Return of the Living Dead later, which I actually did enjoy.
I did enjoy the fact that, like, he ripped Penny's arm off and was like, I'll get you help. Like, how long do you wait, like, before that bleeds out? Like, I'll get you help. There was in the scene where, like, Penny has her, like, it comes to the fact where, like, her lips are missing. Or no.
No, it's the nurse.
The nurse. Right. You remind me of Always Sunny in Philadelphia when the gang gets psychoanalyzed and Frank was like, I went to the place for nitwits up north, and this girl we made out, she had no lips, but her mouth was very much in play.
Gross.
Yeah. Mm. That's all I kept thinking of the whole time.
I mean, I think that it is too straightforward a callback, and it doesn't work also because it's not late enough in the movie. It's too early in the movie. There's still like two-thirds of the movie left when this happens, like half of the movie left. This was not the thing that makes Cabin Fever work is that it's not a rushed movie, and it doesn't like it takes its time getting through all of the plot events. Like it happens slowly. Like the things that happen to them happen slowly over time.
Faced. I just remember that. Wait a second. I'm gonna get faced.
Face.
What is that?
It's in Cabin Fever, the first one. And that Eli Roth character as well. When
he says talking, faced.
When they ran into him, he's the guy in the woods with the dog.
Oh, yeah.
They run into him in the cave.
Oh, just, yeah, that's right.
He's just something he just puts his hand in front of. And it's been so long to watch, but I just remember that. And he's faced.
I really want
to
watch Cabin Fever, the first Cabin Fever now.
It's good. It's a really interesting horror movie.
And that's the thing. That
it's really well paced.
Right. And that's the thing, even like I said, with two. I know Ty West wants to take his name off it, but he couldn't because it was an interesting fact. He couldn't because he's not a member of the DGA. He wanted to have it attributed to Alan Smithy, but he couldn't because he wasn't in the DGA, so it's still attributed to him. But I don't think it's as bad as he makes it out to be because it still has the sense of humor of the first one. And that's one thing this movie, Patient Zero, is sorely lacking. There's none of that. You know,
yeah,
the pancakes
right.
And the you know all the crazy.
Do you think
humor
Ty West
for one and two?
Do you think you want Ty West wanted his name taken off because it wasn't a slow enough burn?
I'd like to see his cut. I'd like to see his cut of Spring Fever because, like I said, I like what they did.
Well, let's tweet them.
So I'd like to see that version of it. But I still think that's the biggest problem with this. Is it just this one just ends up being a generic zombie movie as opposed to being a Cabin Fever sequel, which is you know a very distinct. There's a very distinct you know sense of humor and kind of I don't want to say it's not
point of view. Like this movie doesn't have a point of view.
Right.
It feels more like a Resident Evil movie when it sort of gets down to it. It's more like Resident Evil where it's a mixture of like zombies but also corporate malfeasance or something that's just dumb as shit. Like what were they doing on the island in the first place?
Yeah, well, it's Day of the Dead, Resident Evil, and Dead Island.
Island of the Dead,
but Cabin Fever.
Yeah,
and let's be honest, guys. How much underground can you have when you're island's already at sea level? I mean, come on, that's just unbelievable.
Let's talk a little bit more about the humor aspect as far as like how
Acco?
Why, huh?
Yeah, I mean, Cabin Fever 1 and 2 had a definite like dark humor to them that this one
what
doesn't.
Kind of humor?
Dork.
That's better.
We'll put a link to the
the YouTube clip.
YouTube video we're referencing when we say dork.
Well, it also, the humor comes from a point of view, and Eli Roth, a lot of people don't like him, but like, the humor definitely comes from a place that ends up being funny, and I think Ty West recreates it really well in the second one. This one, the humor merely comes from just like shitty, like
bros
fraternity jokes.
Well, like there isn't any. There's truly not humor. It's I mean there are jokes written into it, but the way they're written into it are so they're bad. As if, see, it's bad, so that's what you're supposed to laugh at it. But that's
it's bad in the way that if I was maybe 20, I think was funny. But
you
now
wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
Now
that's
I'm like, oh man, that's really just disrespectful.
No one's gonna watch it and think it's funny. That's the thing. Someone thought that someone would, but they're not. No one's gonna come out of this. There's not gonna be that one contrarian even who's like, oh man, you got to see Patient Zero. It's so good.
It's so hilarious.
The Jeff Tate interview. Where he's like, oh, this is the best Cabin Fever there is. Mm-hmm. Jeff Tate's the lead singer of Queensryche, Tyler. Just said
that. No wonder I didn't know.
Well, he was.
I wonder.
He
I'd
was,
like to know,
Brian.
He was. You're right. I'd like to know what Tyler ever did with my copy of Operation Mindcrime I gave him.
I think it's in the back of the car I no longer have.
Did you get rid of your Honda?
No. Maybe. Did I have my Honda at that point? No,
you
I don't
did.
Okay, it's somewhere. I think I have it.
It's
on a spindle somewhere.
Non sequitur. So we were taking Jackson to karate. Well, it's kind of like, remember that kid who did karate in Cabin Fever?
Yeah, pancakes.
Yeah, there we go. Taking him to karate the other day, and Eyes of a Stranger came on Ozzy's Boneyard on Sirius. And I told Jackson, like, you're going to be quiet. Don't talk through this song. And I proceeded to play drums on his leg and told him, like, now listen to this part. Am I... OM. I can't remember the lyrics.
God damn it.
I just hit it. I was like, and I turn my head and stare into the eyes of a stranger. I was like, Jackson, listen to that.
I don't get it.
How does he like, respond? Daddy,
I don't. Queensryche is the Minecraft of heavy metal for me.
Trying to get Nacho, is it pronounced Vigilando? Trying to get him to come to the next Chattanooga Film Festival. I told him, like, can we also get Queensryche so we can do Operation Time Crimes?
Did you tell Nacho that?
I haven't told him that yet, okay, but
I don't know if he's going to get it.
I don't know if he'll get it or not, but I was just told wait till year six.
Yeah. But as far as I'm trying to find an entry point back into the fucking movie. Yeah, the jokes jokes aren't funny. Like the movie, it sort of like the jokes are just a mere way of passing time until they get to the island, and then the jokes end because they immediately get sick. Like there isn't even sort of a grace period where they're having a good time. Like things become heavy as soon as they land on the island. Dude literally goes into the woods to pout. And then
I like the fact that the dead fish all look like something from like a Popeye cartoon. Like it's just the head and the rest of the skeleton. It's just
that's
like
true.
The typical dead fish.
Like something that Heathcliff would have pulled out of the garbage.
Exactly.
That he would have eaten.
And another plot point that really bothered me was that Heathcliff is the best. I like Heathcliff a lot.
I enjoyed Heathcliff more than I did Garfield. I was always a bigger Heathcliff fan.
Heathcliff, you know, Heathcliff and Riff Raff.
You can sing me the Heathcliff theme song.
I can't at all. So,
Heathcliff for life.
Heathcliff, Heathcliff, no one would terrorize their neighborhood. Holy shit.
I've forgotten it. That's it.
I can't remember my kid's birthday, but I just remember the Heathcliff.
Well, like, and one of the plot points that really bother me is that they don't let the tension build between the guy who's getting married and Penny. She just takes her top off almost for no reason. And then
there wasn't a reason.
There was no reason. Takes her top off and then throws herself at him and he turns her down. And then immediately they land on the island. And so he feels conflicted about it. And that's it. Like it pays off later because she is only the backdrop for the relationship between this guy and his brother. And that is one of the things that horror movies do terribly wrong. Like she is just there to be the flotsam and jetsam between their relationship.
Flotsam and jetsam between something.
Well, what I want to know is why doesn't he just bang her? Because the tension is still going to be there if he bangs her, if he doesn't. You know what I mean? Like he's either like, oh my God, your girlfriend Penny, who I had in a relationship with in high school, showed me her boobs, or oh my God, your girlfriend Penny, who I had a relationship with in high school, we banged.
And they don't do anything with that at all. And
I did something with it.
Well, I mean, Brian, I get it.
I agree with what you're saying because I think they spend way too much time on really boring stuff later.
Yeah.
Like they really get overly.
Like the minutia.
I think it's overly interesting to be trapped in this red lit bunker with
the discarded bodies of the people who tried to run away.
Essentially, and rather than I think building up the tension earlier on would have been a smarter way to have done that. And then you could be intercutting between what's happening, and you could have the stuff happening to patient zero over there while it's going on. But
Penny is just there to be destroyed. And like that's one of the things I hate about this movie
is the
irony of Brian's comments to what I'm actually saying is hilarious cuz she only exists to have violence perpetrated against her in this movie because she is just the object of like the audience's desire because people see her as a sex object, but also like she's just there to throw herself at this one guy and then she gets infected and then she becomes the object of violence on all sides. Like she immediately gets infected and then they have this really gross sex scene and then she gets her arms ripped off and then she inexplicably has a fucking fight to the death later for no fucking reason, no reason at all. And like her only function is there to be is there to be murder? Like, I hate that note about the
fight on here. It was like, what the fuck is that fight about?
I mean,
like,
it's about the movie highlight. I mean, it's about what they had scripted. Is this is literally the highlight of the movie. I mean, effects wise it is, interest wise it is, camp wise it is. I mean, it takes everything the movie should have been doing the entire time, and finally do it in that one scene. I mean, a campy fight between the two, you know, two of the major sex pots the movie has set up in that situation with the effects is ultimately what one of the goals of the third act should be. But
and like,
they just don't do anything else with it.
They don't do, if you look at this movie, it, I mean, I don't mean to get on like a soapbox about it, but it hates women. And it's not just because they fight to the death later, but
hey,
nothing related to, like, even remotely as bad happens to the men in this movie. Like, nothing even closely related. Like, the brother even gets the benefit of covering himself up for most of the rest of the movie. Sorry, Brian. I didn't mean to step all over.
No, I was trying to step on your comment, too. So don't apologize for me stepping on your comment by stepping on my comment.
I'm going to step on your comment to tell you about stepping on my comment and how it didn't bother me.
Like, cruelty to women. You know what episode we haven't released yet?
What?
Kill the Scream Queen.
Maybe we should release them in conjunction.
Easily still a more interesting movie than this.
Hey, we had a lot more to talk about at that time.
It's
I think mainly it's because Tyler was in the room with us and not far away.
But it's just more interesting. This is just It's just such a generic horror movie. It's the most generic thing we've watched in a long time. It's just
We went from the very artistic Only Lovers Left Alive conceptual.
We have to do that though.
But to the most generic, like,
Yeah.
I mean, I preferred Hostel 3 to this.
Yeah, totally. Hostel 3 still had some interesting things to say as far as like Eli Roth non-sequels go.
I
agree with that.
Refresh my Hostel 3.
So they're in Vegas and they
Okay, gotcha.
Really all I had to say?
That's it.
They were in Vegas and then Hostel.
The effects were better in this. I will say that. Yeah. Like I said, the effects were all
CGI'd in the other thing.
Yeah, and I like the effects in this. I thought they did some good stuff with that. I mean, I thought, like I said, the opening credits were well done, and then that was pretty much it.
Like, the movie becomes a giant pile of who gives a shit once they leave the island and go into the red-lit bunker. Like, they had no idea how to transition into that act.
Yeah, it really is. Like, I don't care what happens to these
people. I don't give a shit. Like,
speaking of people who have, effects, like, helping people out, how much fucking like clout has J.J. Abrams got just by releasing pictures of a half put together Millennium Falcon over a CG screen from episodes 1, 2, and 3? That just with the fact that he's built those things make people lose their shit. I've just been watching it this week, like him post his stuff to. Do you watch the Twitter war between him and Zack Snyder?
No,
it's pretty funny. Like, apparently he and Zack Snyder keep posting pictures of their characters in their other world. So like the picture of like Batman fighting the sand people on Tatooine.
The thing that I mean, J.J. Abrams wins that fight immediately because Zack Snyder, has he ever created an interesting character? I don't think he has.
He's just gotten less interesting with every subsequent movie. Like, I mean,
Dawn of the Dead is, I think, his best movie.
Just get less interesting.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Watchmen. Like, I still think Watchmen's a super interesting movie, but he didn't create those characters.
Yeah, but you know, and I mean, I think we possibly already knew this, but I think we had proven to us why Dawn of the Dead's his best movie now.
Yeah, because it was written by
exactly.
Yeah,
who?
Fuck, I'm losing his James Gunn. Sorry.
Right.
Written by James Gunn. I mean, I think that's easily the reason that's as good as it is. I think finally the rest of the world caught up on that one. It's like it took everybody long enough to catch up on Joss Whedon, and now they got on James Gunn, but.
Oh, Drew's so sour about that.
No, I'm fine with it.
But like,
I was ahead of the curve. That's all that matters.
You were ahead of the curve.
To make a couple of more, I mean, just sort of like final statements about this movie. Like, I still contend that this movie could have been better had they cut out the B plot entirely and held it to just characters. I mean, in the movie Cabin Fever, we don't really have to have an indication of what's causing them to be sick. And if they either needed to choose the B plot here and make it the A plot or not have the B plot at all and have them just sort of like stumble into this thing where this thing happens.
I don't understand a single thing that was supposed to be the most significant thing in the movie. Like, when the movie is like, why did he do all that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, now you're going to show me that 6 cents stuff over the credits to show me, oh, this is what happened. Piece it back together. Still don't get
Samwise.
A single... I don't understand the reason he did anything.
No.
There is no point to what's going on. What were they even researching? What was the whole, like...
Who knows? Thank goodness they canceled the... There was another one, Outbreak, that we're going to be making. There was going to be another one.
This canceled it?
I don't know if this canceled it, but they canceled it. So now they're turning their attention to a remake.
Of what? Cabin Fever?
They're going to remake Cabin Fever?
Yeah, don't get mad at me.
I'm not mad. I'm not mad at you.
No.
He should be. He should be mad at anyone who brings that up.
I'm not yelling at you. It's just a question.
They're remaking. That's the thing. They stopped working on Outbreak. It's like, oh, yay, so we don't get a new one. So they can remake Cabin Fever. Oh, boo. It's like just don't.
This movie just completely misunderstands what the original made the original movie good.
Well, I think the problem with remakes is why don't they just make a movie, call it something different, and copy the plot? At least
people
can be like, sure. Oh, this reminds me of this
movie. Because the reason for that is that it's so much more risky to create a new intellectual property than it is to just milk another one. It's ultimately, like, business-wise, it makes sense because they
but
just...
I feel like we're on the edge of where...
Tomorrow? Are we standing on the edge of tomorrow?
All of that. Oh, you mean Live, Die, Repeat? Because they changed the name of that.
I saw, finally.
Did you see that?
Thank goodness. I said that when the movie came out. I was like, this is a terrible title. They should have called it Live, Die, Repeat.
Are you're on board for that?
Yeah, I said they should have to begin with. Huh. I thought Edge of Tomorrow was a terrible title. It sounded so generic.
It does sound generic.
I couldn't remember it.
That movie's still...
The trailer, Live, Die, Repeat. And I was like, call it Live, Die, Repeat.
Other than Guardians of the Galaxy, I think that's my favorite movie of the year so far.
That was a great movie.
Yeah. It was a fucking good movie.
He did a new title.
And you know, I mean, I don't care what people say. I like Tom Cruise movies. He does
that movie.
I mean, yeah. I don't give a shit if he's soulless and a, you know...
Scientologist.
He makes decent movies. Yeah. I wish...
The biggest problem with Edge of Tomorrow was the movie he did before it, which was completely underwhelming.
Lions for Lambs?
I didn't hate Oblivion, though.
Oblivion, like, hated the third act of that movie.
It was a really generic sci-fi movie. The first act
of that movie was amazing, and the second and third acts were not good.
It was really good.
Well, that's the thing. It's not this complete waste that it's made out to be, but no, Edge of Tomorrow was much better.
That movie was amazing.
Tomorrow's biggest problem was its own advertising.
Yeah.
They did a terrible job. It's funny. The trailers don't look funny.
No, it looks like super... It plays on the persona that Tom Cruise has sculpted for himself, which is the super serious movie star. Like, I'm the badass action guy. Rather than... That guy does humor really well when he's given a chance to.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy that Blu-ray tonight.
That movie's fucking good.
The book's good, too.
All You Need Is Kill?
Yeah.
I've thought about buying it.
Is it Heinlein? Who wrote it? Is it Heinlein?
It's a Japanese manga.
It's called a light novel.
Light novel?
Yeah. It's not manga. It's not a novel. It's a light novel. I had a buddy who just read it. So it was really good.
But it's All You Need Is Kill.
Yeah.
So, as far as if we're going to go with three different titles, All You Need Is Kill, Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat. I say Edge of Tomorrow is better than All You Need Is Kill. But Live, Die, Repeat is probably...
Yeah, I just didn't understand why they weren't calling it that, because I could remember it, but Edge of Tomorrow is the most generic title ever. It's like, what's that movie called? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Either way, go see Edge of Tomorrow.
But what I was saying was the edge that we're on right now with filmmakers like Wingard...
Well, don't push me, because I'm close to the edge.
Wingard, West...
Standing on the edge of tomorrow.
Go ahead.
Oh, he was talking about Edge of 17, but...
I was talking about Saved by the Bell.
I'm living on the edge right now.
Living on the edge. So Wingard, West, Barrett, all these guys. You know, we have what's his name? The guys who did Resolution.
The guys who did Spring. Yeah,
Justin Benson. All those guys. We're on the edge of. They're making really good original stuff, but it's not hitting.
It's not breaking through.
Right, it's not breaking through to that mainstream of
it's not mainstream, and that's fine.
Which is not fine. It is fine.
Oh, it's not fine with you. Okay.
You guys fist fight.
It is fine, but what, I don't have to convince anybody who listens to this podcast, they're already in on the VOD idea of things on VOD are probably the best.
They just need to perfect it. Like, they just need to do it better. the VOD thing. Like, I wanted to watch Tusk on opening night this weekend, and it wasn't on fucking VOD, which is bullshit because it said it would be.
It was supposed to be on VOD, and then it got such a word of mouth going about it that it finally it made it to theaters. Mm-hmm. So
we're still going
to
do that movie, though, right?
A poor decision on a movie like that. That movie is made for VOD.
Yeah, I would have enjoyed it more.
Even having seen it, you think that it would have been better on VOD?
No, I enjoyed seeing it with an audience of people who get it. Like, yeah. Seeing it with a room full of people who understand what's good about it, and lots of it's not good, but like understanding what's good about that movie and what's interesting about it makes it a way better experience, I think. So I think I benefited from watching it in theaters because I was forced to pay attention to its humor, but. Yeah, I can't wait to talk about it.
You weren't texting and doing other things the whole time?
What?
You weren't texting and playing video games and stuff?
Exactly. Like, I wasn't, like, hanging out and just like, oh, I'm going to go have a snack and ignore this part.
And you were like, hey, God, we need to get to the restaurant. Why? I was like, I haven't Instagrammed a food pic in, like,
exactly.
12 hours.
Yeah, I'm going through withdrawals.
God almighty.
I have all this good food I eat.
Someone doesn't give me some Applewood smoked bacon now. I'm going to do shit.
I need some Applewood smoked bacon stat.
If someone doesn't get me a 70-30%,
but what were you talking about when you were saying like we're on the edge of what? Like, are you saying we're on the edge of like those indie filmmakers breaking through, or we're on the edge of like people getting tired of remakes?
That idea of having to connect yourself to a franchise or a remake is it's falling by the wayside. So like the guys like Ty West and Adam Wingard and stuff can get some original stuff through. We mentioned the like watching The Guest and stuff like that, which they're not. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. These are tried and true kind of like ideas, but the idea is that these guys are going to take it a little further. They're not remakes.
Yeah. I think Ty West was like one of the last directors who needed to use a property in order to get his name out there. Like, now they're just making their own movies. Like, for better or worse, they're just making their own properties.
I watched The Innkeepers again this weekend, and
fucking
I was like,
good.
That movie is a fucking great movie.
It's a good movie. I love The Innkeepers. I think I like The Innkeepers
better now. Like, yeah. The first time I watched it, I was like, I'm kind of bored. But now watching it again,
I think
like,
it's hilarious.
This is a great movie.
It's fucking funny. It's a funny horror movie.
I think you like just like it better now because you know Pat Healy.
And Peter Bach, the guy who produced it.
No, I'm not saying that, but I think that adds to it.
Hey, Brian, lean back and pick up that name you just dropped. Oh, no, it's not enough that I know Pat Healy.
Hey, I don't want to make this a big deal or not, but I did hold up Pat Healy's fucking messenger bag at Chattanooga Film Festival.
His man bag?
His man bag.
His merce. What were you saying, Drew? Sorry, I was stepping all over.
I was just saying, I think that part of the reason for the, liking... Innkeepers more now is your familiarity with Pat Healy and like for him now. I mean,
he was entertaining
at first, but now it's different. Now,
hold on, I'm breaking up.
Just knowing him through the other movies you've watched,
right.
he's more of a
and him
an
and
interesting
even
person.
Watching more Ty West stuff, it's like I understand a little better how his style goes.
Right. I liked it. The first time I saw The Innkeepers, I liked it more than House of the Devil. I thought, like, this is the sort of, like, refinement of the...
House of the Devil.
I would expect nothing less. Of course.
House of the Devil.
Oh, he's gonna
of
wait
course
for the
you clipped
one.
On there. Yeah,
I
know.
Like, you, I
of
waiting
course
you
were clipping.
Talk, like, he's going to he's gonna forget the second part of this.
I thought Innkeepers was better than House of the Devil. More well paced, funnier, like bit more interesting, less
House
slow.
House of the Devil. Man, could you imagine they got that song by Glenn Danzig just to do that song?
No.
Shut
up. All
right. Sorry.
But don't. I mean, I
Drew's
say
looking at me like I wasn't gonna do that. I was like, I'm gonna do it.
I know. I had to make
I'm
sure.
I'm gonna do
I
it.
I say skip Cabin Fever. It's very rare that I say skip a movie. I've said try every movie. I think just, man. I guess I said skip Septic Man. Skip this. I think skip this movie.
You told people to watch the first 15 minutes and then turn it off.
That's right.
I'm the one who just said, no, just don't even start it then.
And I'm the one who went diplomatic and said, hey, guys, wait for it to come out on Netflix. Watch it.
No, I agree. Don't watch Cabin Fever.
Skip
Patient
it.
Zero. Watch Cabin Fever. Go find Cabin
watch
Fever.
Watch Cabin Fever, yeah.
Go
find
Cabin
Spring Fever.
Too.
Even if Ty West doesn't like it, I do. It's like, go find his sequel. It's, I mean, Giuseppe, what's his name, as the deputy is entertaining enough
he
in,
is
in
good.
The second one.
Yes, he is great in that film.
So, yeah.
Yeah, man. Hey, if you're going to be in Chattanooga or around the environs on October 31st.
Halloween.
Come see Fantastic Ass... I'm sorry. Frightening Ass Film Fest.
It is a Fantastic Ass Film Fest, but...
Frightening Ass Film Festival 4. We're showing the Babadook, Demon's Rook, and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 40th anniversary. We'll have some special guests. Musical guest White Reaper and SoCro. Chattanooga favorite SoCro. College favorite.
Rappist. Rhyme talker.
Yeah. We're going to be there. Costume contest. Awards. Hey, Cavity Colors has just pledged a little bit of a... if you guys know them from their t-shirts and prints, they do some great stuff. Prints. P-R-I-N-T-S. Not Prince.
Not Prince.
Not Purple Rain Prince. Yeah. We'll be there.
They do some great prints, though.
They do some great prints. Man, they have a fucking amazing Halloween 3 shirt. CavityColors.com. Go see that shit. They're going to give us some prize packs. Come in your costume if you're around the area.
But wait until the end.
If you want to, you know, I may be bare chested.
You're going to come in your costume, wait until the very end.
I'm going to come in my costume.
I'm toying with costume ideas right now.
Yeah. Drew had a great costume idea. I'm not going to tell him.
Okay.
But it's a good, like, we brainstormed about it, and it sounds like a great time. What are you going to come as, Tyler?
Oh. I don't know. We should talk about it. Are we going to do a podcast specific one this year?
I have such amazing hair. This hair cannot be wasted this year.
Shut the God. Okay.
Hey, fuck it, dude. Hey, look, one of us isn't balding. I'm going to have a great hair do. Oh, that hit close to home.
I've still got enough hair left.
I can shave my head. What are you going to do with your face?
Boom.
Bury it in your mom's crotch.
Good luck with that.
All right, guys.
Brian, always, you can always count on Brian for your mom jokes. never too stale and old for Brian, like his women.
Like Tyler's crotch. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Drew.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Hey, look, bro, if you want to fight about something later, we can do that.
Huh? Brian, singing over the credits now?
No, I'm fucking calling Tyler out on shit.
What are you calling me out on?
Calling you out on your bullshit.